Hello, and welcome back to Tenant Talk, a show dedicated to providing insights and exchanging ideas on growing and operating a small business.
So just like the housing market goes hot, cold, the employee-employer balance market goes back and forth. Sometimes it's, there's more talent than there are jobs, and it's a supply and demand issue.
In this season, we'll dive into various challenges businesses face, from networking to leasing space, to recruiting talent, and so much more. So I think as an employer, it's very important to not ever just sit in a situation where you think like we're completely stable. If you get to that point, if you think you're stable, now it's time to rethink everything. You'll find it here on Tenant Talk. Welcome back to Tenant Talk. This is a series that really focuses on the needs of small businesses and provides a forum for them to exchange ideas. Hi, I'm Bill Singer. I'm with Kenwood Management. Welcome to our fifth show. On today's show, we're going to talk about employee retention and employee recruitment, a really important and challenging for many businesses topic in today's business world. So I'm excited about this topic. I'm very excited to hear what my co-host and guest, Christina May, has to say on the topic. Christina is CEO and president of Illuminate. Christina, thanks again for being with me here with me today.
I'm excited about today's topic. It is top of mind for every small business owner. So let's just dive right in.
Absolutely. So let's start by talking a little bit about our own personal experiences in our businesses and things that we've had to do, particularly over the last couple of years, but and even things that we're projecting to do now into the future to retain employees and to attract new employees. So why don't you start and then I'll follow up with what Kenwood's done.
Sure. Well, the nature of our business has completely changed, like many, over the past couple of years. So I think that a lot of the environment has to do with, you know, everyone suddenly realizing that remote work is, yes, indeed possible. It is not a pipe dream. And being forced as businesses to figure out how to be agile enough to provide a remote working environment while we were all at home for the last couple of years during the pandemic. And it's all totally uncharted territory for every single business. Anyone that says that this is something that they planned for. Yeah, okay, could I borrow your crystal ball?
But exactly.
But we have had to change quite a bit. So we went from being geographically focused company to being kind of a two time zone focused company. And we have moved from everyone being in the office, like a regular 9 to 5, to everyone being remote. And in that time period, we had people move away and, you know, just kind of tell you as an FYI, by the way, my address has changed.
Send my checks to the following address.
Correct. have kids, get married, you know, people their lives have changed a lot. So I think what it did is it opened up the opportunity for both the employee and the employer. For the employer, we totally embraced this transformation and moved to a remote model. We still have our location. We still have some employees that are local to the location, but we use our location differently now. And I mentioned in another episode that when we were talking about leasing versus buying space, that in that episode I mentioned that we were confined. We were getting to our busting point in our building, and it was really a difficult decision for me because as the building owner as well, it was like, well, great. I finally got this building exactly how I wanted it, and now we're too big for it. So now what? Cue pandemic and everybody's working from home, suddenly no longer an issue. So we are now more of in a hybrid environment. So from that perspective, as far as it being on the employee's side, it's opened up the opportunity for employees to realize that they are also not geographically bound to who they work for. There are more companies that have kind of embraced a totally remote or hybrid environment, and it might open up opportunities for themselves to go live, go travel, etc. So we embraced it as best we could, like everyone else, but it did not come without its bumps in the road, which I'm sure we'll get to a little bit later in the episode. So I'll leave that as my teaser. So Bill, how about you?
Yeah, so we took the approach at Kenwood, first for our existing staff, to listen to them, to try to hear what was important to them, what was what would make their lives easier, how we could make their jobs more efficient. And in some cases, because people had kids at home, young kids at home, having more flexibility was important. Others were fine coming into the office more frequently. Didn't mean they had to come all the time, but it also opened up because the majority of our employees are local, but some still had longer commutes and some still had to deal with traffic-related issues. So much like you brought up hybrid model, we took a similar approach where we enabled people to work more from home. That also involved, in our case, changing technology. So prior to 2020, we had computers on everybody's desks, and we had to convert everybody to a laptop so that they'd be able to work remotely. So in our case, not only did it involve talking about policy changes, but it talked about also technology changes and equipment changes. What we also did that I would recommend to business owners is not just talk about how do I make your job more efficient, how do I try and accommodate your needs, but listening to an employee's ultimate goals out of what they want over the next 5 years or 10 years of their life. So what I mean by that is I discovered some people that I thought were thinking seriously about a track for them to grow in a certain way and to take on new responsibilities. I discovered that that wasn't really the case. They were very happy doing what they were doing now because it enabled them to have more free time on the weekends, at night, whatever it happened to be. So opening those lines of communication up, talking to your employees about what their priorities are is so important and something that we spend a lot of time focusing on.
Absolutely. So, you know, as we've gone through and, you know, it's a, you know, you hear the term, you know, talent migration. A lot of people have realized that they can change jobs, that they can go other places. They're looking. So just like the housing market goes hot and cold, the employee-employer balance market goes back and forth. Sometimes it's, you know, there's more talent than there are jobs, and it's a supply and demand issue.
Exactly.
So for a small business, especially when we're in an employee-favored environment, meaning that there are, you know, fewer employees and lots of jobs, which is what we're experiencing right now, and never mind all of this newness that's now in the market, that you really are, it's a small business, it really makes it difficult sometimes, I think, you feel, to compete because, you know, we can't do, you know, $1,000, you know, welcome gift basket that comes to the door of the worker, or, you know, that's totally out of the question for small businesses. So I think, you know, from a talent perspective, not only for attracting talent, but also talent retention. And I think that one of the first things you need to do is realize that when it comes to talent retention, is you can only do what you can do. If someone has made up their mind that they're going to leave, there's not much more that you can do about that. So a way to prevent some of that is keeping those lines of communication open. But realize that even if you're being very transparent, sometimes the employee realizes, hey, if I tell them I'm looking for a job, I might be out of my current job, and they're not going to be transparent with you. So be braced for that. That does happen. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think that we need to readjust as employers is our idea of how long people stay in jobs. No one gets a gold watch anymore. No one stays 10 to 20 years anymore. And that's okay. You need to create the best environment, and you know, you can only ask questions and hope that they're being truthful with you on the other side. Is the best that you can do as an employer. And be really as competitive as you can be with benefits. So when I started my business, I remember one of the first things that I wanted to be able to provide was the option for health insurance. That was one of my earliest goals. So, you know, having those goals in place, but realizing that you might not be able to provide all the benefits that a Fortune 100 company has. That's okay. What you do have, though, as a small business, is flexibility. Large businesses don't have this. It takes an act of almost Congress to change things in a large business. So in a small business, you have the ability to make subtle changes and be way more flexible, provided that you are being fair. I will add that asterisk. I always tell people that my rule is that if I do not hold myself to any different set of rules than everybody else. So the same time and flexibility that we provide to our employees, it also, you know, extends to me, not just me. And I think that's important for small teams and small businesses to see that everybody has the same set of rules. So a lot of times when someone comes to us with a request, I always let them know, you know, if I do this, I'm setting a precedent because it's for the whole team. It's not just for you.
Yeah, and I would add to that, especially for a small business, it might be very difficult for employees or for an employer to continue to offer a growth trajectory for an employee so that they can keep their skills fresh, that they can learn new things, that they can develop new skills over time. That can be very challenging. So we spent some time kind of trying to think about how to do that. And one of the things that we've done is to try to implement technology to take away some of the more mundane features that an employee might do, automate that. And it's amazing some of the things that you can automate now. And that relieves somebody of something that they might be incredibly bored with. And then they have capacity to try something new. So I think as an employer, it's very important to not ever just sit in a situation where you think like we're completely stable. If you get to that point, if you think you're stable, now it's time to rethink everything. Forget that idea, especially I think in today's environment.
Absolutely. I would add to that too. You know, when it comes to making sure that employees have opportunities, I always tell individuals that, you know, everyone has a superpower, so to speak. There's something that they're very good at. And you might have applied for and filled a role in our company, but you brought some other talent with you. We try to create openings for that talent. And in a small business, you have that capability that's to the advantage of the small business, whereas a corporation, your job description is your job description. It's very much like an Excel spreadsheet. There's not a lot of room to change that within the structure and the hierarchy, which comes with larger companies. Right. So that's something that as a small business, I feel that you have a advantage on. Another thing that I want to mention too is well, the worst thing as an employer is we're constantly guessing what it is that people want, right?
Absolutely.
For benefits, etc.
Yep.
And one of the best things that we have done is we did this in kind of in the, I would say the year one of the pandemic. You know, first it was more like react, let's all figure this out. But afterwards, you know, we got in and needed to figure out, you know, what do you guys want? You know, as the future of your working environment, are you happy at home? Do you want to come into the office? For those of our staff, you know, do you, even though you're far away, what does that impact? So having a survey, asking those questions, and just getting some feedback to help you plan especially when things are in the level of flux that they are, goes a long way, I think, not just for the employer from a planning perspective, because right now we're all guessing a little bit, but also for the employee, gives you a voice to be heard and to, you know, kind of think about, even maybe you haven't asked yourself. I know when we were a year in, everybody just kind of was like, okay, well, we have to go remote. There was no choice, right? It was go remote or no job. So now having a choice, having a chance to reflect upon, well, what's my ideal working environment? What do I really want? For us, I would definitely say, you know, there are pros and cons. It solves some problems, you know, going to a remote hybrid model. It created others. So darn. But that's how right. it works. And that goes a long way, I think, to retention.
Yeah. And what I've had in talking to a number of the small business owners that are in our portfolio is, how do you create an environment where you can develop the creativity, the unexpected idea that used to come around just in the kitchen or by the water cooler or the coffee maker? How do you recreate that remotely? How do you, and so many companies need that. Not everybody does, but for those companies that have that, need that creative spark, that need that ability to develop new ideas, it's how do you, you can't just schedule that on a Zoom call at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There really is a creative component to it. So we spent a lot of time, Christina, during this conversation talking about the things that are impacting primarily salaried employees. But let's spend a little bit of time now talking about what are some of the things employers can do for location-specific hourly employees. Mm-hmm. So we're in that situation. We exactly have that. They're building engineers that are in our portfolio, location-specific. They need to go to certain properties every day. So the I think the way an employer has to think about what they can do for that group of employees, what we've done, for example, is we've permitted hourly employees to go negative on sick or vacation, as opposed to just cutting them off and saying, well, from this point forward, because you're out of time, you're not being paid. We've permitted them to effectively go negative. Give them that flexibility. We'll make it up at some point down the road, but we've done that as well. And then for employees who, hourly employees who become more negative than maybe is comfortable for some business owners, we've tried to figure out additional jobs, things that they could do effectively on overtime to try to pay back that time, but to work through that negative vacation or sick time. So that's how we've tried to address it with hourly employees.
I think too, when someone's job demands that they show up in person, and there's lots of those jobs, and I think many of those jobs were not very visible before, they're very visible now.
Right.
Everyone from, you know, especially in the medical field, grocery, etc., but that extends to, you know, the individuals who are filling orders in a warehouse, the individuals that are, you know, need to be, if you're a manufacturer and you have a plant, the plant doesn't run itself. What those businesses have been through is, you know, very, very challenging. And finding ways to be as flexible as you can within the inflexible nature of your business. So there's no denying the fact that, let's say, an order comes in, somebody's got to fill it. But there's also automation opportunities possibly for you in those spaces. That's something to take a look at. And it's another thing to really focus in and see where you can be as, again, fair as you can be and add as many, you know, flexibility within reasons, so to speak. So that might mean changing schedules. That might mean changing shifts. But you learn all of this by actually talking to your employees. And it might sound like it's a little scary to do, but just simply asking the questions And whether you find that's easier to do in a forum like a survey or informally in conversation, or if you're thinking about something as an employer, you know, run it by a couple people. You know, hey, I was thinking about this, you know, what are your thoughts on it? And doing that outside of your regular circle. I think sometimes as owners and managers, we, you know, kind of protect ourselves in our circle. And it's a lot easier, especially a small business, to be able to talk to as many people as possible, if not everyone, in the different parts of your business. That's really, really key. I think it goes a long way towards retention.
Yeah, and I think I'd add to that, you know, I have found through the years of being in business that sometimes when you ask an employee what they think about something or how we could make things work better, they will often give you an answer that they think you want to hear. So the challenge for a business owner is to go to multiple sources that you pointed out and try to figure out what really is the right information. We'd love for everybody to just be honest and straightforward with us from the get-go, but sometimes you've just got to dig a little bit deeper to get there. But the results are worth it. So Christina, this has been awesome talking about this topic. It is timely. It is probably one of the biggest challenges right now that employers are facing. Employee retention, employee recruitment. So lots of good information here. Thank you so much for not only joining me on this episode of Tenant Talk, but for, again, for season two. This season, we've covered so much material together. We've talked about networking. We've talked about things to think about with your first lease. For more established businesses, we've talked about what are the pros and cons of leasing versus buying. We talked about a topic you're very familiar with, marketing. and now we're concluding with this topic. So we hope that you've enjoyed this season of Tenant Talk. We have had great fun bringing this to you. Please subscribe to our channel. If you'd like additional information as well on this topic, there are some show notes at the bottom. Please refer to that. It'll bring you to just a wealth of additional information. Thank you so much for joining us. Season two of Tenant Talk, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you. Thank you so much.